unfathomable. God is conditioning revivalists. He's conditioning those that believe in evangelism, those that believe in truth. Amen. Praise God. And so I firmly believe that word preaching churches are going to be the only churches that will survive in the end time. Amen. Not philosophical churches, not those that are stooped in traditions, but churches that, just to put it simply, teach the Word of God. Amen. So that's what we stand upon when we have absolutely nothing else. We have the Word of God. You can impress people at a distance, but the only way you can impact people is up close. And so what we're going to give you tonight is things that you can impact upon people when they come close. Praise God. We sing the song all the time. It's more than a song. A song is not what you have required. So it's more than a song. It's more than a little talent. Amen. It's the Word that counts. And it's the Word that will hold us. And it's the Word that will keep us. Praise God. And so that being said, tonight, we'll keep our seats because we're going to have a whole lot of Word. And I appreciate how you honor the Word of God when we preach and teach. But tonight, we're going to have a multitude of scriptures. And some of you, you got your iPads out and you got your notebooks out and all of that. And I want you to just stay right there. Tonight, I will just tell you, it will not be a ton of inspiration. But tonight will be a ton of information. And a lot of times when you're full of inspiration, it's good to have the right information. Am I right? All right. So tonight, simply put, we're going to talk about water baptism in the Word of God. We're going to talk about water baptism. I've heard it all. I've heard how it's not important. I've heard how you don't have to do it. I heard how that you can omit it. And so, to be honest with you, I don't know why there's no one out there saying, I don't know why they put it in the Bible. Because that's my attitude. The Bible literally says, if every book could have been written about Jesus, if it was written, the world couldn't contain it. But there was one that was written. So apparently that must be the most important one. And the words that were written must have been the most important words. And so, you know what? I'm just going to take one word to be just as important as the other, even if it's inconvenient. Because that's the slash. They're cutting out the parts that are inconvenient. But nothing, according to the Word to me, is inconvenient when it's going to save our souls. All right. Amos chapter 8. Is it 8 and verse 11? Behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land. Now, this is a time of starvation. This is a time of lack. This is a time of lack and slack when it comes to nutrition and food. He said that I will send a famine in the land. But understand, it's not a famine of bread. It's not a thirst for water. In other words, there'll be plenty to eat. There'll be plenty to drink. But the famine will be of hearing the words of the Lord. There's a lot of ears open out there for words. But there's not as many ears out there in these last days open for the Word of the Lord. And so we're going to open our ears tonight for the Word of the Lord. James 1, 21 and 22. Do we have that? There it is. Wherefore lay apart all filthiness, superfluity of naughtiness, receive with meekness the engrafted what? Say it aloud. the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. It, ladies and gentlemen, it is not what your favorite TV evangelist said. It is not what I said. But we've got to go according to what the Word of God said, because it is the engrafted Word of God that will save you. But be ye doers of the Word, and not hearers only, receiving your own, deceiving your own selves. Praise God. So, amen. We need an unequivocal, absolute Bible revival. And I'm just going to tell you, and you know it, I'm just going to be the one to say it. If this county is going to have a Bible revival, it's got to be launched from this church. If this county is going to have a Bible revival and apostolic move of God, it's got to go out from this church. Amen. What is it we put on that old track that we called Fishbait? The end of your search for a spirit-filled church. We had a local church to kind of grab hold of that. They bought them a little electronic sign to put out in front by the road. But they kind of dissected it and made it fit them. And it said, the end of your search for a friendly church. I just want to tell them, I don't mind you using it, but when you use it, put it all up there. Because if we don't have spirit-filled churches, those friendly churches will not even matter. You done got me mad now. No. So the word is like water. It washes, it refreshes, and renews. Amen. I've always said, show me a Bible that's worn out, and I'll show you a child of God that is not. Amen. So the word is a light. The word is the rite of passage. Amen. And I've always said the Spirit draws, but doctrine holds. I'm going to give you doctrine tonight. Amen. And the recipe for biblical confusion is to bypass the book of Acts and try to understand the rest of the Word of God. We need the book of Acts as well as every other book in the Bible. Amen. Hallelujah. Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. Now, in the subject of baptism, should you be immersed or should you be sprinkled when you're baptized? Again, there are those that say it doesn't matter. But listen, when people get an attitude that things don't matter, right then a red flag should go up. And you should study and find out for yourself exactly what the Word of God says. Amen. Now, there are those that sprinkle, and then there are those that do not. There are others that immerse totally in the Bible. Let's go to Matthew 28:19 and understand something. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. Somebody say every nation. That means the whole world. Baptizing them in, not names, but the name of the Father, and we'll talk about that momentarily, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, Matthew 28:19, baptizing them in that name. So the last message preached by Jesus was a command to baptize all nations. If he didn't feel like that was important, why did he say it? The first message preached by the apostles resulted in a command for everyone to be baptized as well. In the book of Acts, chapter 2, and verse number 38. Amen. Where it says, Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized. How many of them? He didn't say just the ones that want to. He didn't say just those, just a few, just the important people. He said to be baptized, every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. This says the very same thing that Matthew 28:19 said. Amen. Matthew 28:19 said the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. Bam, there it is in the book of Acts. Amen. Everybody shout, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Baptism is important and should be administered according to the Scripture. Say that with me. According to the Scripture. Amen. So let's look at this. I've got this comparison. I wish I could have taken the time to get Jeremy to help me put it on the wall. It's kind of almost humorous because in my Bible study here, I got a block on the left and I got a block on the right, and the block on the left shows all the Scripture as to why we should immerse the whole body underwater. And on the right, I got this block that shows all the Scripture as to why you should sprinkle. Okay? So let's go and talk about the immersion first. Amen. In John chapter 3 and verse number 23, John also was baptized in Anon near to Salem, because there, why was he baptizing there? Somebody help me read the rest of it. Because there was much water there, and they came and were baptized. Amen. They needed much water because they were immersing them. They were not sprinkling them. Amen. And so look at Acts 8 and verse 38, where the Word of God tells us, and he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down. Everybody say, both into the water. Both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him, meaning he immersed him. I'm giving you all the Scriptures about immersion. Okay, now in Acts 8 and 39, the very next Scripture verse, and when they were come up out of the water, when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. So three Scriptures already where they were in the water, they came out of the water, both of them went into water. They baptized there because there was much water. Now, Romans 6 and 4, praise the Lord. Romans 6 and 4, therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death. I'm just going to go ahead and tell you, if you're around and I die, when you bury me, don't sprinkle me with dirt. To be buried with him means to be placed under. And so baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Praise the Lord. And so let me help you with one more. And there's many, but let me help you with one more. Found in Romans 6 and 5. Hallelujah. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Praise God. So, number one, there was much water. Number two, they went into the water. Number three, they came up out of the water. And then number four, they were buried in water. Number five, they were planted in water. Now, let me give you all the Scripture referring to sprinkling. There is none, so let's move on. It's blank. Wish I could have shown you that. Without a question, the early church taught and practiced baptism by immersion. Paul said, if we or an angel, now I want you to get this in Galatians chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. Praise God. He said, but though we or an angel, Paul is saying, it doesn't matter if a preacher or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed, because there is no other gospel. You ever heard anybody say, we're all going the same place anyway? You ever heard that? They say that out of convenience. It did not come out of the Word of God. You say, preacher, this is the only church going to heaven? I didn't say that. But I will say this. The only church going to heaven is a Bible church. You may be seated. The only church going to heaven is a word preaching, word indoctrinated church. Forget the philosophy. Amen. And forget all the ideas and things they want to add to and take away. Amen. Praise God. So understand that. Hallelujah. If that form of baptism cannot be found in the Word of God, I would be afraid to preach it and practice it. But when it doesn't matter what the Spirit said to the church and what the Word says to the church, then people can preach anything, and that's what they do. Praise God. Now, let's look real quick at baptism in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. How did the early church interpret the Lord's command in Matthew 28:19? Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptize Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. How did they interpret Acts 2:38? Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, for remission of sins, and you shall receive. How did they interpret Acts 8:16? For as yet he was fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. How about 10:48? Where he said, and he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Anybody know the name of the Lord? Then prayed they him to tarry certain days. How did he interpret all of that? Amen. And then, what is it? 19:5, the Word of God says, when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. If let's just say we want to go scholarly here tonight, and the Bible is an antique. Let's go scholarly and find out what the scholars and the Bible college people say. And so if the Bible record is not enough, let's examine the findings of the educated, the scholars, and all of the historians. Can I give you a few footnotes from encyclopedias that have been written? Amen. The Britannica Encyclopedia, the 11th edition, volume 3, page 365. Baptism was changed from the name of Jesus to words Father, Son, and Holy Ghost in the 2nd century. So for 100 years, it was baptism in Jesus' name until it was changed. It was changed at the Nicene Council. Caney, Encyclopedia of Religion, page 53. The early church baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus until the 2nd century. Hastings, Encyclopedia of Religion, volume 2. Christian baptism was administered using the words, in the name of Jesus, page 377. Baptism was always in the name of Jesus until time of Justin Martyr, page 389. Here we go. You ready for this? Catholic Encyclopedia, volume 2, page 263. Here, the authors acknowledged that the baptism formula was changed by their church. Schaff, Herzog Religion, Encyclopedia, volume 1, page 435. The New Testament knows only the baptism in the name of Jesus. Don't want to hear the word? Listen to the encyclopedia. Hastings Dictionary of the Bible, page 88. It must be acknowledged that the threefold name, Matthew 28:19, does not appear to have been used by the primitive church, but rather in the name of Jesus Christ or Lord Jesus. Now, is it an absolute necessity that the name of Jesus be spoken or called over a candidate for water baptism when he's being baptized? For the answer to that question, please don't listen to me, but please listen to the Word of God. Acts 15:17. that the residue of men might seek after the Lord and all the Gentiles upon whom my name is called, saith the Lord, who doeth all these things. Amen. See the association with the name? And James, look at James 2 and 7. Do not they blaspheme that worthy name by the which you are called? In other words, you are called by that name. First century Christians invoked or called the name of Jesus over believers in water baptism. If, as some say, the name of Jesus means the authority of Jesus, then so much more should the name rather than titles be called over an individual in baptism. Read Matthew 28, 18. Look at Matthew 28, 18. Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power. Somebody say, all power. Somebody please say it again. All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. So all power in heaven is given to the name of Jesus. Acts 4 and 12, help me out. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men, whereby we must be saved. And then Colossians 2 and 9, one of my all-time favorites. I just can't help it. I love it. Amen. We're going to read that. Colossians 2 and 9. Don't worry about it, Brother Tyre. You've done good to read my handwriting this far. Everybody look at Brother Tyre. Stephanie won't even look at him. Don't you mess with my man. That's why we got that computer so cheap, huh? All right. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Jesus Christ was God and the Spirit of God in the body. Jesus said, when you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And then Jude 3. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write. It was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend. In other words, literally, fight for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. You cannot give up on what God has delivered to the church. Amen. So it's an exhortation to contend for the faith once delivered to the saints. Let's look at Galatians 1 and verses 8 and 9. But though we... There it is again. But I gave you two scriptures this time because I want you to see something very important. He said, though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. Now look at this. As we said before, so say I now again. It was so important to them that they said it twice in back-to-back verses in the same chapter. As we said before, so say I now again. If any man preach any other gospel unto you than that you have received, let him be accursed. Do you see the value? Do you see the importance? Amen. Just because the Bible is old doesn't mean it's cold and does not mean it's lifeless and dead and that we can wake up any given morning and make up our own doctrine. Should anyone dare to change what the Lord and the apostles established? Should anybody wake up one day and decide, I'm going to change baptism to the name of Thor Well, what's the name? What's the difference in changing it to that than to Father, Son, and Holy Ghost? I'll tell you why the enemy has no problem with people being baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, using those titles as such. We baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, incidentally. But when we baptize, we use that name, and that name is Jesus. But when you only say Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, you're saying titles. And so the name is not applied, and that's why the enemy doesn't mind a little bit of truth, but he doesn't want all the truth. It's like some people are with other people's success. They don't mind them doing good, they just don't want them to do real good. And so, but we're not here just to be good. We're not here just to be nice. We're not here just to be religion. We are here to do the Word of God and to do it right. What's going to happen in the near future is you're going to need these scriptures. And I hope you got most of them, if not all of them. And you're going to need these to verify to others that are going to begin to ask you questions. Praise God. What's going on, and I'm hearing it from pastors across America, what's going on right now is that there's a tension in denominational churches. I'm not talking about the apostolic church, but I'm talking about denominational churches where power and authority and dominion has been so turned over to people in the pew and board of directors and all of that. Amen. I can give you a Bible to where the greatest thing that board members could do was serve food when they served food. Amen. We have board members. And when we have important issues, I'm the first one to go to them because I need their assistance and I need their help. If it hadn't been for them, we couldn't have built what we built today. That's the bottom line. Much of the stuff that you see was not even my idea. Amen. And that's irrelevant to me. That's not what's important to me is the Word of God going out in truth. Amen. But board members and directors and people in the pew and folks with money and all this kind, they're rising up and they're shift changing. They're getting ready to rid of the pastors that they've had for years and bringing in the ones they want, regardless of what he thought about it. It's happening all over America. I know what's happening. There's a shaking going on. There is a true, bona fide shaking going on, and the Lord is trying his best to create revival. Amen. Those churches are going to find out and figure out that it doesn't work that way, that the Lord calls a man, and the man is the one that delivers the word, and he directs the people, and the people follow the man as he follows Christ. That's the Word of God. Amen. And when that doesn't happen, churches shut down and close. That's how Brother and Sister Hedrick, that left out of our church and went to Lake Norman to pastor, that's how they got one of the greatest miracles that has ever taken place in Pentecost, in that they met a man and the man looked straight at them and said, I want you to have my church, and gave them the title to the church, and they walked in without having to pay a dollar. Amen. Why? Because they're shutting down. But they don't understand is the Lord is pouring out revival. Amen. If they're gonna and he's saying, if people can cause it to shut down, then I can cause it to be a miracle for my people. I can cause it to spread revival. I can cause it to cause a great uproar. Amen. So that the people can say, hey, those that turned the world upside down, they're coming here too. I just heard they built a church in a day. There's 113 people there the first Sunday. What's going on? What's going on? It's just a small town. I heard somebody gave them a church over there, and they went in and they're having revival, and there's healings and signs and wonders. What's going on in Lexington? I just heard a man was healed of cancer. I just heard they've received a financial miracle. There's an anointing. There's a great thing. Amen. What's going on? I'll tell you what's going on. Where religion is dying away, the truth is coming up, and the truth shall triumph. Let's stand together and worship the Lord right now. Amen. What a Tuesday night. I love the Word, and I know you love the Word, and I thank God for your receiving it tonight. So let's praise God for what He has spoken to us tonight. Hallelujah. Lord, we thank You, praise You. We honor You and worship You, and we look to You, Lord. We don't only want to impress people at a distance, but we want to impact them up close with the Word of Almighty God. Thank You for the Word. Thank You that we found this truth hidden in Your Scripture for those that are hungry and for those that are thirsty. Lord, thank You for the open doors and the open windows, the opportunities, the privileges, God, the blessings of the Word of God that have come our way. We accept it, receive it, and intend on living on it in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Thank you so much for being in the house of God. Shake hands, be friendly, and greet one another.